Greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Who have you been redeemed for? Who have I been redeemed for? It's for the groom, right? So may we keep our focus and our gaze upon Him. This morning, I would like to look. I'm not exactly sure how to say it. At faith and some promises. Sometimes we can look at our circumstances and try to decide if we can trust in God and what He has said, instead of looking at God's promises and how my life will line up with that. Maybe we could stand to have a word of prayer. Lord, this morning we are so blessed and thankful for Your goodness. Lord, we're thankful this morning that Your Word is everlasting. And the promises that are in there are everlasting. Lord, we pray that You would help us to be able to look at some of these today and strengthen our faith in You. Lord, that we do not translate Your Word by our circumstances, but that we would look at Your promises and guide our life by it, Lord. So we pray this morning that You would minister life to us again through Your Word. Father, I desire that Your name would be lifted up today, that Your name would be exalted and magnified. Lord, that You would have Your way in each one of our lives. We bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. Where the thought of my first thought of this message came to life was over Bible school. At something that Brother Leonard had said that gripped my attention. And I'm going to read three passages, in one in Matthew, one in Mark, and one in Luke, of the same story. And then maybe we could sing a song or a hymn 805. And then I'd like to, I've spoke to my family about it, so they know probably what's coming when I read these scriptures. But just wondering if any of you, that it ministered to you the same way it did to me and any of the youth, if they caught a phrase that Leonard said in here. And then we want to use that. It's kind of an allegory as well, using this picture. The first one we want to look at is Matthew 8, verses 23-27. And I want to read all three of them because They say the same thing, and yet there's little things in each one that bring out a little different point. Verse 23 of chapter 8 in Matthew. It says, "And when He had entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there was a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He said unto them, Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" The next one is in Mark, I think it's chapter 4. I forgot to write the chapter down. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to the end. It says, on the same day, when even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was on the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him, saying unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And then the last one is in Luke 8. And this is the passage that Leonard had read. Luke 8, verses 22-25. It says, Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into the ship with his disciples and said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. And he arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Maybe before we sing hymn 805, does anyone remember what Leonard said about this passage? I'm sure if I tell you, then you'll remember. I think there's a few, a young lady here that is shaking her head, yes. What he said is, why would they have been afraid? He said, let us go unto the other side. Why would they have been afraid? He said, let us go unto the other side. So that is the heart of my message today, is we're also, the other thing that he said is, now it's our turn to be in the arena. It's our turn to be in the arena. I'm going to say it this way. Now we are on the boat. Now we're on the boat. And we're sailing to the other side. We're sailing to the other side. Could we sing 805? And then there's points in each one of these in the hymn, as well as the three passages that we read that we want to look at this morning. Maybe Luke, you could start that.
Thank you.
Morning. The question, why were the disciples afraid? Jesus said, let us go to the other side. So here we have on the ship, crossing the water, Jesus falling asleep, started out across the water, and there comes this great storm. And if you look up the word storm, it says it's a hurricane. So I don't know, it must have been a tremendous storm. Not necessarily a normal storm that came up. And Luke tells us that they were filled with water. Matthew had said the ship was covered with waves. And Mark said that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Sorry. How could Jesus sleep in a ship like that? How could he possibly sleep in a ship like that? There's peace in his heart, for number one, right? He knew the master of the ship. It says they were in jeopardy. How did Jesus not get all wet? Why did he not awake? It kind of gives a picture here this morning that another wave crashing into this boat would surely sink it. I mean, they were afraid for their lives. So they wake up Jesus. They go over here and they wake up Jesus and say, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? And he gets up and he goes out there, I don't know, I imagine he goes to the edge of the boat and says, peace, be still. And there was a calm. I mean, it's one thing for the storm to quiet down, but it's a whole other thing for the waves to just all of a sudden go down and there'd be a great calm on this water. So why are they so fearful? Jesus said in at least two of the passages, I think in Mark and in Matthew, and that's where I want to get the title this morning, it says, why are ye so fearful? Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Didn't I tell you that we want to go to the other side? Why are you afraid? Don't you trust? Can't you trust that we'll get there if I say that we're going to go there? It's all going to be fine. The boat wasn't going to sink. And so this is the kind of the picture that we want to use for the message this morning. Let's kind of use this as a platform. How are you and I sailing on life's sea? How are we doing? Is our ship taking in water? There's and the picture of the storm is not necessarily a bad thing. We will all face storms in life. Taking on water doesn't necessarily mean that you're in a bad place. We just have to remember that Christ said, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. We're going to make it. if we continue on. And this is assuming that you have asked Christ to be on your boat. This morning, if you have not asked Christ to be a part of your life, you can glean from it, but this is not who we're talking about this morning. Sorry. How are we doing? It's interesting, the day or the morning right after Leonard shared those thoughts, I read Genesis 22. And I want to read the first 18 verses this morning to continue to build upon the message here this morning. Genesis 22. And I want you to listen for a phrase in here that might go parallel with what was said about the other passages. Genesis 22, the first 18 verses, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him up for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto the young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spake to Abraham his father and said, My father. He said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said unto this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. That is, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand that which is upon the seashore, and the sea shall possess the gate of thine enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, what little phrase in there goes parallel with what the other three phrases, or the other three passages that we read? Verse 5, that's right. And it says, and come again to you. Somehow Abraham knew that he was going to come again to them. With it, not just him, but Isaac as well. How did Abraham know this? And come again to you. We can see that Abraham was going to go through with this. I mean, the knife was in his hand. The thing was going to happen. God stopped him. What do you mean, come again unto you? How can he say that? How can he say, and come again unto you? What do you think the young men would have thought if they would have known of Abraham's plan? In chapter 21, the chapter prior to this, is where Sarah asked Abraham to send Ishmael and Hagar out from them because there was strife there. And God told Abraham to go ahead and do this. And I'm sure Abraham loved Ishmael as well. But God told Abraham in chapter 21, verse 12, the last part of the verse, it says, "For in Isaac shall thy seed be called." For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And Abraham knew that God said, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." That is why he could say, and come again to you. He knew the voice of God. He knew the voice of God, and he knew that he could trust. His faith was in this, no matter how the circumstances looked. I mean, if Abraham would have been on the boat there, it would have looked like one more wave, and the thing was surely going to sink, right? The knife was in the hand, and it was going to happen. And it looked like, surely this thing was going to sink. But Abraham knew his God. He knew the promises of God. "And Isaac shall thy seed be called." Abraham believed God. The storm was terrible that he was facing. But the promise of God was greater than the storm. Again, I want to remind us, it's now our turn. Now we are on life's sea. And many of us face different things in life. Some things are hard things that we face. There's blessings that we face. There's times of calm. But we all face storms in life. The disciples were looking at their circumstance. Abraham was looking at God and His promises. Where is our gaze this morning? Where are we looking? I've been thinking of you youth at the Bible school. You had a blessed opportunity, a blessed time, a lot of good teaching. You set goals. God ministered to you things that you wanted to change. We heard of some of these things, and I know you didn't have time to share all that God showed you that week. But then real life comes. You go back to work. And it seems like the enemy is better at distracting us there than he is when we're in a place like this. So how are we doing? It was clear in our minds what we need to do, right? Now it's a couple weeks past. And I just want to remind us, I don't want to condemn anyone, okay? I want to lift up the promises of God. On Friday morning, Alan had drew a chart up here. How's it going to look next year? Now we're 2-3 weeks into the next year of Bible school, right? From Bible school to Bible school. How's it looking? Is there a gradual uphill gain going on in our life? Is there a spiral down, or is it like a roller coaster? Where do we find ourselves this morning? I just want to encourage us. God says we're going to the other side. We're going to get there. How? We don't know how. But we're going to get there. He said we will. I just want to encourage you. You might have said that, okay, I'm going to read 10 chapters a day. And then reality hits, and I'm only getting 6 done, and you're getting discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Continue to press on. God wants God wants us to, He's wanting us to get to the other side. That is His goal. He knows that we don't, in us, He knows that there's challenges going to come. There's storms going to come. He knows that. So how are we doing? My heart today is that no matter what we are facing, that we would keep God's promises in front of us. Let us not interpret our lives. Let us interpret our lives by God's Word. Not interpret God's Word by what's going on around me. Comes out way different. If Abraham would have been on the boat, on the ship, we already talked about this, even though that it looked like one more wave and it's going to go under, Abraham kept his eyes on the promises of God. We're coming back. We're going to come back. Where are you and I this morning? Do we see hope? Do we have hope in our hearts? Do we see God's promises for us? You know the gospel that says that accept Jesus in your life and it's going to be all right from here on out is really not a gospel. If you really follow the Lord, it's not going to happen that way. It's going to be all right, but it's going to be challenges. The course, I forgot to look at the course here a little bit. It says, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean, earth, and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my voice. If you've asked Christ to be in part of your life, He might be quietly waiting for you to come and say, Master, I need help. Master, I need you. I need you. I got myself in this predicament or this is going on in my life. I need you. And He wants to come in your life and say, peace be still. And it doesn't necessarily happen the first time you ask Him all the time. Sometimes it takes a lot of knocking, a lot of asking. But He will. If we allow Him, if we give Him that opportunity. The things that you purpose to do, are they getting done? The goals that we set, are we moving toward our goals? It's not just for the youth this morning, but it's for all of us. You know, if our life is current with Christ, and I'm sure in the last 2 weeks that there's something that God showed us that this is something I want you to work on. How's it going? Are we moving towards that goal? I want to encourage us. Let's move towards the goal. God says we're going to the other side. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Does it look too big? There will be no casualties if we stay in the boat and believe in God's promises. Another picture that I want to get out of from God's Word is in Acts 27. And I know that, like Jonathan said, if we use pictures and so on, things break down, okay? Things break down. But I think you all hear my heart this morning. Acts 27 is when they were taking, they were on the water here, and they were headed to, I forget now exactly where they were heading to, but they were heading across the water in this great storm that again came up. And Paul told them that we should dock here at this one place that they had stopped and stay for the winter, but they decided to go on. And then we'll come in verse 18 and read to the end of chapter 27. Verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest the next day, they lightened the ship. The third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. When there neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. In other words, it didn't look like there could be another wave that this boat could handle. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosened from Crete, and to have gained this harm. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer." What do you mean, good cheer? We're in a bad storm here. "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought unto Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, ye must be cast into a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about the midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen into the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said unto the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved.' And then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boats and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them to take meat, saying, 'This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you.' And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. When he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship, 260 souls. When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore in which they were minded, and if they were possible to thrust in the ship. When they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea, loosened the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. Falling into a place where 2 seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast, remained immovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. The soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them for their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land, and the rest on some boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass, they escaped all safe to land." So here, there's a few things that I would like to look at here in this passage. First, in verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Sometimes when the storms of life are raging, we're trying to find a way of an escape, a way out of here. And Paul told them, unless you stay on the ship, you're not going to be saved. You're not going to be saved. Abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. If we would have been on the ship, we would have been looking for a way of an escape as well, I believe. Again, they were in jeopardy. For the sake of the message this morning, we're saying you have to stay in the ship. There's no two ways to the other side. God said, God had told Paul that they're all going to be in his hand, that we're going to the other side. There's only one way. And Paul said, unless you stay in the ship, you're not going to be saved. He never told Paul that there will be no shipwrecks in your life, did he? There's not a promise that there's not a wreck in our life. The promise is We're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. The other thing we want to note is verse 24. It says, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. How did Paul know that that was the angel of the Lord that spoke these things to him? How was he so confident in this? If we turn back to Acts 23, verse 11, we read these words. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified in me in Jerusalem, so thou must bear witness also at Rome. Paul was not at Rome yet. Paul was not at the other side yet. Paul hadn't reached where God had told him that he's going to end up. That's why Paul knew, I have to go to Caesar. I'm going to get to the other side. Paul knew God. Paul knew that God is going to get him to the other side. The ship wrecked, and there was no one lost. No one lost their life. An amazing story. Amazing story. No one lost their life. They all stayed on the ship. They all made it to the other side. Why? Because one man on there had faith and believed God. Remember, Paul, you're going to Rome. And Paul knew it would be okay. We're not to Rome yet. We're not to Rome yet. Now, we looked at three pictures of stories in God's Word. Two of them where there was confidence in God, trusting God that we're going to get to the other side. Abraham said, we're coming back to you. Paul says, if you stay in the ship, we're going to make it. Then we have another picture where we read of Jesus and his disciples, and they were afraid. They forgot what Christ told them before they started out. It says, let us go to the other side. And somewhere in this, somewhere between here is where we are all at. Either we're trusting God to get us through, no matter how bad the storm is, or then we can be fearful. And is it wrong to be fearful? Well, it's not. Fear is torment. But I don't want to get hard on you if you are fearful. I just want to encourage you that God says we're going to the other side. So this morning we didn't just come together to read a few passages of Scripture but we want to apply these to our life now. How does this affect us today in January 2022? How's it looking for you and I? What is your life looking like? Must Jesus say it again? Oh, you've little faith. Why are you so fearful? To think of any of us, any of you here, to get out of the boat because of difficulties. Really burdens my heart. God has promised. We have God's word that has been from everlasting to everlasting, and I want to lift it up this morning. No matter what you are facing today, no matter what you will face tomorrow, God has promised to see us through. And that is the burden of my heart this morning. Why are we so fearful? The storm might be filling your boat. It is being tossed to and fro. We can't even hardly keep our balance. It's just rocking everywhere on this boat. The storm of life that we're in the middle of. You're right in the middle of the boat. You're right in the middle of the storm. And you look every which way that you can look, and there's no land in sight. And the boat is about full. And it looks like there's no one more wave is going to sink this. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced that? In the spiritual sense where you wondered, how can I take it? How can I take one more thing? How can I take one more thing? God takes us through these things, okay? He does. He allows these things to happen for His glory, to burn up the dross in our lives, the promises. If we keep our eyes, our focus upon Him, we'll make it through. There might be sweat beads on your forehead, and the heart is racing. You feel like screaming for help, but you know it's no use. Anyone? Does that ring a bell with anyone? Storms of life. You just don't hardly know what to do next. Can anyone tell us what we should do? Remember, if Christ is on our boat, He's back here just patiently waiting for us to come and say, Master! Master! We perish! We need your help. He'll be there to help us. He doesn't just do it without us asking. I'm not saying He never does, but He wants us to ask Him. You can say, well, I don't know where He is. If this describes your life, find someone to talk to. There's people here, there's brothers and sisters here that would like to help you through this storm. God uses men to do this. He does. Let's look at some promises for our life. Romans 8. No matter how bad the boat is rocking, no matter how much water we've taken on, let's read Romans 8, verse 31 to the end. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what can be too much? If we have a promise like this, first of all, do we believe that God is for us? Maybe we should ask first, we all believe that this is God's inspired word, right? And if God writes in here, if God be for us, who can be against us? Should that not let joy rise up in our hearts in the midst of this storm? I know we're in this storm. I know that it looks like we can't take any more water. But God says, I'm for you. I'm for you. What can be against us? Many times we can eat. Sometimes it can be, for young people, we can see that, yeah, God was for mom and dad. God was for him and her. But I'm not really sure where He's at for me. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. He is for you as well. That doesn't, there's no one that excludes. If you are wanting Christ and do His will, this includes you. This includes you. If Christ is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, he tells us that if he would not spare his own son, but deliver him up for us, how shall he not also freely give us all things? My, what promises that we have. It doesn't matter how much water we have taken on in the boat. There's promises that God will see us through. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can do it? God has promised, we have rich and blessed promises in God's Word. And as Abraham was leaving to go sacrifice his son, these are the things, Romans wasn't wrote, no, but the promises of God is what Abraham's hope was on. What are you and I's hope on today? And as we think of 35 to the end there, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he goes through all that. What more could you add in there? What is not included in that? There's nothing that can happen to you that does not fit in here. God, there's nothing that can separate you from God. Nothing. Well, we can say, well, what happens then? Why do people walk away? Or why is God not with them? It's the choice of a human being to walk away from God. It's never God's choice to leave you. I can decide to walk away from God. God will never, ever go against His Word here. He cannot go against His Word. He's promised He will never leave us. Now, I can walk away, and He does not necessarily always chase after us. But He will never leave us and nor forsake us. So this morning it's also not talking about, we're not talking about people that are hiding in sin. That's not what we're not here trying to bring comfort to that. But on the other hand, if you are truly striving to do the Lord's will, the promises of God are still yea and amen. Let's read 2 Corinthians. I don't want to... In one way, I want to paint a beautiful picture of God's promises. And on the other hand, I don't want to paint a picture of an easy life that God is going to give us once we believe in Him. Now there will be peace, there will be a great calm. There can be, and after the storm. Chapter 11, verse 22-28, and this is what Paul says. The same man who wrote, that God inspired to wrote Romans 8. Are ye Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in the perils of false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and in thirst, fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, which cometh upon me daily, the care of all of the churches. I'm sorry, but I cannot paint you a picture that all is going to be just rosy from here on out. But what I can do is promise you that God says that He will see us to the other side. There's storms of life, and there's more storms coming. There's more storms coming. May we grab a hold of the promises of God. He's promised us through. He's promised us through to the other side. Paul here wrote of all the things he went through. He wrote the wonderful promises in Romans 8, but he also wrote these words that we just read of the things that he went through. It didn't change God's promises a bit. So we need to keep our eyes focused upon Christ, not on our circumstances. Do we see these precious promises? The God that cannot lie will not leave us nor forsake us. In Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, I'll read them two verses there. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me." God's promise is that he will never leave you and nor forsake you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God has promised that. People can separate themselves from God, but God will not walk away from us. God will hold up his share of, or his end of the promise. I had to think of those captured in Haiti. They found the promises of God to lean on, didn't they? They walked away encouraged. They walked away seeing God's wonderful power. Was it a storm? I'm sure at times it looked like another wave is going to sink the ship. But they held on to God's promises. What are we going to face? I don't know. I can't tell you that. It depends on our life today and how we will fare through such trials as that. If we would have to go to prison for our faith today, how would we do? We can't expect it to just all of a sudden change. We need to today learn God's Word and hang on and learn His promises. Find out direction from in here and He will guide us through anything that comes. God allows things in our lives to break our wills. He wants us to say, "Yes, Lord." Have you ever built out of the ship in the midst of the storm? In other words, did you run from your troubles like Jonah did? What happened? Jonah didn't escape from the thing that God asked him to do. He had to still go back to Nineveh, didn't he? We can't choose a different route. We still have to come back to where God is telling us to do. There's not a different route. His command didn't change because you weren't willing. I don't care how good you can make it look. We're still on the ship when God's promises are for you. Keep your gaze upon Christ, not on the waves. How are we doing? Another promise in 1 Peter 5. Verse 6 to 8, it says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, and that you is you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." We don't live on a playground, as it appears in the world today, but on a battleground. Are you taking care of your soul? Are we trying to please our flesh? Easy life, fun, excitement. I don't want to keep coming back to the fleshly things, But the promises are not for those who want to do their own thing. That is not who the promises of God are for. There's probably the most misunderstood word in the whole Bible is the little word if. The little word if. Let's look at a few of them. In John 8, verse 51, there's just little verses you can just listen. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death." If that is what we're going to do. Men like to say that they're not going to see death, but they don't like to live according to what he's telling us here. Keep his sayings. John 14, verse 15, he tells us, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." In other words, if we're not keeping his commandments, that means we're also not loving him, right? I mean, but somehow men still like to try to hold on to God's promises without living out the ifs in God's word. 15 verse 10, it says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." If we're keeping his commandments, we are abiding in his love. Isn't that a blessed promise? But there's an if there that we cannot overlook. "Ye are my friends," it says in verse 14, "if ye do whatsoever I command you." Let's not look over them little words, if. There's promises, great and precious promises here. But they are for those that live out the ifs here in God's word. I don't want to give a false hope. But let's keep striving. God has promised that He will see us through to the other side. Keep fighting. Keep pressing on. I was thinking of reading Psalm 147, but we'll skip over that. I might read, look through it just a little bit, but I won't read it all. It says, "He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. The Lord lifteth up the meek, and he chasteth the wicked down to the ground." Some precious promises. Verse 11, it says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy." Do you fear the Lord? God takes pleasure in you. Isn't that some sweet words this morning? That God takes pleasure in you? That word, you can put put your name in there. If you are fearing the Lord, that means you. You can put your name in there. That's how real these promises are. He also tells us that he gives us a picture in his word where he left the 99 to seek out the lost. "It is not his will that any should perish, but all come to the knowledge of the truth." So how is it with us? Is your ship about ready to sink? Maybe you're walking on water this morning. Maybe your faith is strong enough that you're walking right on water. Have you called upon the master of the ship? Or must he say it again? "Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith?" He said, "Let's go to the other side." Can we trust him? In Hebrews, I want to look at something that he said about Abraham. Hebrews 11, verse 17, it says, "By faith, Abraham," verse 17, when he was tried, "offered up Isaac." In other words, the word has ED at the end, offered. It was already done in Abraham's mind. He was offered up. "That he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." He was hanging on to the promise that God gave him, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Promise. Can we believe God in such a way? Also, God is not going to tell us to do things that go against His Word. Let's remember that. Who do I believe? Do I believe God? Do I believe my own, what I can come up with? Who do I believe? In Hebrews 11 and also in 13 to 16 it says, these all died in faith, talking about the ones that he wrote before this, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they say such things, declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to return, to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to call them their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So this morning, I can't promise you a good job. I can't promise you a nice house. I can't promise you a pocket full of money. But what we can promise is if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we will get to the other side. There might be some shipwrecks, but he has promised that he will get us there if we hang on, if we keep him in our focus. The promise is if we are faithful unto the end, we shall be saved. What country are you and I seeking? Remember, there is no promise that the ship will make it to the other side, but the promise is that you, if you keep your faith in him, will make it to the other side. The ship, there's no promise. The ship might be taking in a lot of water. The promise is not for the ship, but for you. I just want to say a little something. I visited Brother Sam a few times, and the last time I visited him, he's sitting there on his chair, and he had tears running down his cheeks. And this is what he said, "I'm happy to go." He's got a better country in mind. There's nothing more here. Now we know that Brother Sam is old, well in age. Those will go on. You and I are not promised tomorrow. Can we say, "I'm glad to go on. I'm looking forward to going on." Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Is that something that wells up in our hearts? We're promised that he will get us to the other side. I also want to say that there's no promise for the ship to make it to the other side, but there is for you. I do also want to say that if you call upon the master of the ship, there will be a great calm. And the other thing that happened is there's worship that rose up in the hearts of these disciples. What kind of man is this, that even the sea and the wind and the waves obey his voice? There's worship that came. And that will happen with us as well. It's not going to be, "I got through this one." But when Christ truly brings us to the other side, we will lay down and our idols, like, and we will worship the Lord Jesus. I want to close here. I want to read in Mark again the passage. "And the same day, when even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat onto the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, saying, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind and the sea, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So this morning, I don't know what your life is like. I don't know what's going on in your life. But Christ says, we're going to the other side. Let's be like Abraham and says, we're coming again to you. Let's not be like the disciples here where he has to say, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So my goal today is to lift up Christ. There are storms of life that are raging all around. Maybe you're in the middle of a storm. We don't know, I don't know what all you're facing. But Christ's promise is, if we keep our gaze upon Him, if we call out, Master, Master, He is there to help us. He is not slack concerning His promises. They are from everlasting to everlasting. God bless you.